You are tuning into the True North Church podcast. Our prayer is that you would be inspired and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True North Church, please visit us online at truenorthak.org.
We are 4 weeks from Easter. Can you believe that? You should be excited about that. Easter is like a, I don't know if you understand, Easter is a highlight for reaching people for Jesus. And, you know, people come to church on Christmas and Easter a whole lot easier than any other week. So if you've been wanting to invite someone to church, Easter's a great time to be thinking about it. Again, there's some, we'll talk more about next week. Got some big, these things stick on your windows. They come right off at the end of Easter. Pick some up, some invite cards. And, today we want to highlight, we had our vision meeting this last week, the last Sunday night, and created the video for that. I wanted to show you a highlight of 2022. I know we're into 2023, but how many want to know it's good to celebrate what God has allowed you to do and then start casting vision for where we're going? So I want to show just a highlight of 2022 and then kind of share about where we are as a church and where we're going. And so check out 2022.
2022 was an incredible year here at True North Church. As we lived out our core values, living in who we are, we saw God show up and be who He is. So here are some stories and highlights of what God did in 2022 at True North Church.
We are a Bible church. Each week we preach the Bible to our main gatherings, our 55 plus Bible class, and our youth gatherings. Life groups, they focus on growing our understanding of the Word through studies on individual books of the Bible, as well as looking at what the Bible says about certain topics. In 2022, True North hosted 99 life groups. One area we clearly see people growing in their knowledge of the Word is in how many people took the step of obedience to be water baptized. In 2022, we saw 57 people take this step in their faith journey.
We are a Spirit-empowered church. We began 2022 with a week of prayer and fasting, followed by our Encounter Conference. During the week of prayer and fasting, we gathered to dedicate the year to the Lord. During the Encounter Conference, Dobie Weasel and Dr. Alan Tennyson taught and ministered us on the Holy Spirit. Many were baptized in the Spirit for the first time, as well as others being healed, set free, and ministered to during this amazing conference. Throughout the year, we continue to seek the Holy Spirit's empowerment through our prayer and worship nights, the first Wednesday of each month. The greatest sign of His Spirit empowering us as a church is when the Spirit draws people to Christ in faith. In 2022, we saw 145 people tell us they committed their lives to Jesus by praying the ABCs.
We are a family church. We love families. Our kids and youth ministry serve more than 450 kids each week, from newborns to high schoolers. Kids learn more about God during the annual Kids Encounter Conference, and 300 kids attended Mega Sports Camp, where they also learned some sporting skills. Youth took 3 buses of kids and leaders to the Ignite Conference in Anchorage, and we hosted our annual winter conference in February. Fairbanks Outreach gave our youth the opportunity to serve our church and our city through helping at Mega Sports Camp, then serving local organizations.
We are a church for our city. We love the city God has established us in. It's why we partner with Denali Elementary for our Pack the Pantry program and providing Thanksgiving lunch for hundreds of students. We love our teachers by providing coffee and donuts for their in-service training. It's why we say yes when the city invites us to help plant flowers at Pioneer Park. It's why we partner with the Food Bank, the Salvation Army, and many other community organizations to bless our city through the 12 Days of Christmas outreach. It's also why we continue to grow our gatherings at College Road location, where we see a weekly attendance of 250 people. We want to make room for our neighbors to join us at True North Church.
We're also a church for Alaska and a church for global missions. Beyond our city, we look to bless our state and the world beyond through our missions efforts. In 2022, we sent True North teams to Nuiqsiq, Willow, Kaktovik, and Tanana. We partner with other missions organizations and missionaries in our state with Easter in a Box, letting the villages know that Easter was for them too. We sent 68 boxes to different villages. We also hosted a number of teams coming to do missions here in the state of Alaska through our Alaska Outreach Ministry. And of course, we have our team at True North Nenana impacting the village in incredible ways.
We've had 7 people give their hearts to the Lord this past year, and many given up addictions and other things that they've been carrying and battling with throughout their life. We partnered with an organization that was able to come down and create a city square in Nenana. And as well as that, we were able to deliver refrigerators and clothes washers and dryers to people in need. Also this past year, we were able to, we were given so many clothes to give away for winter gear to our community. You know, I can't wait to tell you how this year started, and you're gonna have to wait till next year to find out.
And globally, through partnerships with Builders International and Africa Tabernacle Evangelism, we completed building churches in Zambia, South Africa, Kenya, Nicaragua, Ecuador, and Uruguay. We also sent True North Go missions teams to Mexico, Zambia, and South Africa, as well as our regular support of more than 45 full-time missionaries serving around the world.
We are a church equipping for purpose. We are growing people into all that God has for them. More than 400 people at True North are being equipped through serving on a serve team. 81 people were equipped by completing Grow Track in 2022. And our School of Leadership, our ministry training program, trained more than 20 students for ministry. What an amazing year 2022 was. I hope that these God stories and highlights have encouraged you and strengthened your faith. And as we continue to live out as a church our values, who we are, we know that God will continue to be who He is, ensuring that our best days are ahead.
Come on, isn't God good? Man, 145 people that we know of, they gave us their name or their email and phone number. That's not those that prayed the prayer to say, Lord, I want to be, be my life leader. A lot more people pray than sometimes will tell us their name or phone number. So we're just excited about what God's doing here at True North. I want to take a moment and just kind of share a little bit about our future. We believe this, though, with all our heart, that our orthodoxy, that's what we believe, shapes how we act and shapes how we feel. And so I want to share a thought or a scripture verse this morning that kind of gives you a window into who we are. Last week, we had, in our 6 gatherings, we had 1,575 people. 323 of them are under the age of 5th grade. Yet, 8 years ago and 8 months ago, there was 87 people at True North. So God's truly doing something. But part of the reason why He's doing it is because of there's a heartbeat behind. If we were to kind of, anyone ever watch the Discovery Channel when they're doing like open heart surgery? I have a weak stomach, but I'll tell you what it looks like. It looks like they open up the chest, and what's in there looks like live lasagna moving. Anyone ever watch? You know what I'm talking about? You've watched it. And it changes the whole thought of, oh, I love you with all my heart. You know, I mean, it just changes songs like that when you think about what that means. Several years ago, when we moved up here, my wife and I moved to Alaska. It was about 12, 13 years ago now. I used to work for the Summons of God District Office in Anchorage and doing youth department work for the youth department. And at the end of all our summer camps, we had a chance to go down to Homer for a week and do some fishing. And I'm on a boat with my friend, and we'd moved up from Vegas. And so my kids are used to really hot weather. And so we're on a boat. We're going over to Soldovia, a little Russian village outside of Homer, across the bay there. And we see a whale breach and, you know, slap the water, and we see there at the same time there's a little sea otter, that's what it is, yeah, a sea otter playing with its baby, and they're twirling, and my girl who's now 21 grabbed my face, and her eyes are big, and she goes, Dad, this is the best day of my life. Because she, I mean, it's just, again, how many want to know that Homer is a little bit different than Vegas? I moved up here for a couple reasons. I moved up here because 9 months a year, my daughters wear hoodies, not spaghetti, straps. But there's another story in the Bible of some people on a boat that it wasn't the best day of their life. And I want to take you there. And this scripture verse, I'm going to read it. And there's a part that's highlighted, and most of us never see this highlighted part. And but I think it's one of the key verses amongst this several verses here. But if you have your Bibles open on the Mark chapter 4, they'll be on the screen as well, or follow along on the worship guide or YouVersion Bible app. But it says in Mark chapter 4, it says this, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, meaning Jesus, spoke to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. This is the part that many of us skip, because many of us could tell you the rest of the story. Many of us could kind of quote it. That what happens? Jesus is on the boat. He falls asleep. What happens? There's a storm that comes up. Disciples are bailing water out. They're freaking out for their life. And they wake Jesus up. And what do they say? "Don't you care if all the other people in the boats around you drown?" No, they don't say that. What do they say? "Don't you care if we drown?" And then Jesus stands up, and what does he do? He calms the winds and the waves. He says, "Peace, be still." And when he literally, he uses the Greek word ekbala, which he casts the storm out of the water. It's the same word when he casts demons out of people. It's ekbala. He forcefully tells them to leave. He tells the storm to leave. The seas are completely calm as glass. Then he looks at his disciples and says what? "Oh, ye of little faith." And we sometimes think, well, I wonder why he says, "Oh, ye of little faith." I think sometimes we think it's because, well, don't you realize I was on your boat the whole time? How many of you guys have ever been in storms? Anyone ever had difficult seasons, circumstances, difficult times in your marriage, dark moments in your relationships or your family, or maybe got medical bills, and you go, "Jesus, do you know what's going on?" Jesus isn't affected by the same storms we're affected by. How do you know? Your life can be bumpy and all this stuff, but Jesus is not affected by the same storms. He's able to remain calm. So here's Jesus asleep, and the disciples, all they think about during the storm is, "Don't you care if we drown?" And Jesus says, "Oh, ye of little faith." And I believe it's because of this, friends. Look at me. I believe it's because they forgot the fact that the other boats didn't have the Jesus they had. And I'm convinced of this. Part of the heartbeat of True North Church is this, is that Jesus doesn't exist just to be our private Jesus on our little boat in life. Jesus exists to reach people that don't yet know that they can go through a storm with someone named Jesus. They're trying to put their life together without a Jesus. And so today I want to talk about part of the heartbeat of True North Church is, and that's why we've been showing like little, hey, Easter's coming. Hey, be aware, be awake. It's because, friends, there are people out there. I have a friend named Kevin, and I had been praying for Kevin for 3 years to come to know Jesus. And 2 years ago on Easter, it snowed 18 inches. Do you realize, you know, it was 3 years ago today, our kids started spring break and never went back to school for almost a year? Remember that? Thank you, Jesus. School's back in session, right? Thank you, Jesus, for that. You know, my kids are like, "That's a great spring break, Dad." But Kevin was on my five friend. I prayed for Kevin. In fact, next week we're going to hand out five friend focus cards, and I'm going to ask you to start praying for five of your friends and start praying for them. Kevin was on my list for 3 years. It snowed 18 inches that day, and here's what happened. I invited Kevin to church, and Kevin like called me and says, "Mark, I'm going to come. What should I expect?" I said, "Well, just come on in. I'll be in the foyer. I'll be looking for you, and I'll save seats for you." He says, "You'll save seats in church for me?" I says, "Yeah, I even paid for the ticket." No. And so it snows 18 inches. I'm like, "Oh, great." But he shows up. He's wearing a three-piece suit. He'd never been to church. Never been to church in his entire life. Had never been to church. His wife's wearing a velvet dress, and they walk in. I ushered, and they sat in the front. all during worship, they're just weeping. Both he and his wife gave their lives to Jesus on Easter 3 years ago. And why do I say that? He didn't have Jesus on his boat. Next week we're going to start talking about what happens to what happens when we die. We're going to talk about eternity the next couple weeks because, friends, there's a real place called heaven and there's a real place called hell, and real people go to both those places. And there are people that don't have Jesus in their boat. There's people who don't know about Jesus. And so our orthodoxy, if we believe that lost people matter to God, therefore they should matter to us. Therefore, how do we look at that? And so several years ago, and it was 8 months ago, I remember when I first became the pastor here. And I remember 5 minutes after service, everyone was gone. It's like, I don't know if they like me. I don't know if they like each other. I don't know if I like them. And then all of a sudden, people started coming to know Jesus, and people started getting saved, and people started. I want to talk today about four things that I think, four commitments that can make us really great in 2023 as a church. And so if you have your notes, your worship guide, take them down. I want to talk about these things. These are things, if we believe the lost people matter to God, what does it look like down here? How does True North respond to that? Four commitments. Number one, make a commitment to attend one gathering and one group. See, here's what I know. As True North began to grow, this is what I heard. This church is too big for me, Pastor. And I never knew how to respond because it's like too big. If you think this is too big, you won't like heaven. There's a whole lot of people in heaven. And we never set out to be a big church. We set out to have a big vision. And so we start to realize, wait a second here. We can't get to know everybody. If last week in 6 gatherings there's 1,500 people, how do you get to know everybody? Well, how do you? You don't get to know them when you sit in rows. You get to know them when you sit in a group. That's why one of the highlights last year was 99 groups, and that doesn't count our care groups and recovery groups and all of those. That just counts house groups and people's homes and Bible studies and times to break open the Word of God and interact or study a study together. And so I want to encourage you, if you want to experience all God has for you through this local context of this body of believers called the church, it's attend one and get plugged into a group. In Hebrews, it says, let us consider ways we may spur, one on to love and good deeds. The New Living Translation says, consider how you may provoke someone. You're like, I'm going to provoke you. In other words, how do you challenge each other? And then it goes on and says this, not just that, how to spur each other. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, there's two goals. Get connected and get growing. And we say it this way all the time. You don't grow in circles, in rows at True North. We learn in rows and grow in circles. That's groups. Get connected, committed on a Sunday, connected to a growing group. And so make that commitment. Otherwise, you'll come, and I always say it this way, you won't like us growing big if you don't grow small with us. Get plugged into a group. The second commitment I'm asking you to consider making today is not just attend one, but attend one and then serve in one. Serve in one. It takes 400 plus people are on our serve team here at True North. And guess what, friends? We still have needs. We have needs. We have 6 gatherings for kids' services. That means we have 6 nurseries or multiple nurseries, all 6 gatherings. There's a need to have people help. Now, I'm just telling you right now, if you sit in a pew too long, you get pewy. Don't think there's not needs because it looks like a well-oiled machine. There's always room for one more person to say yes to. There's always room to say yes. And so attend one, serve one. And I see, here's what I believe. How many of you guys ever, anyone here charcoal grill? Or who in here is no, I'm a gas grill guy. I'm a charcoal grill guy. I don't like the taste of gas. I don't like the smell of gas. No. But I like charcoal grill, but I know this. If I put my charcoal in a chimney and start it, the charcoal's close enough together, it kind of heats each other up. And then I can pour my chimney out and I can grill my meat. But if there's one briquette disconnected, that one briquette will never get going. That's why attending and connecting to a group and getting together, and I can just say right now, when you're a part of a serve team, that's a group. Get connected, serving. But what makes this, in fact, I believe this, I believe that the Bible says we're one body, we're many parts. Ever seen a Mr. Potato Head? Anyone enjoy Mr. Potato Head? Anyone when the kids aren't looking or grandkids aren't looking, you actually play with Mr. Potato Head? Anyone here buy pop-up storybooks for themselves? But they say it's for the kids. Anyone ever sit there and try to figure out how those things work? Am I the only guy that's ever sat there trying to reverse engineer a pop-up storybook? I love those things. And I love Mr. Potato Head. And I always loved, you know, when the girls would leave for a little bit and they go do their little thing with the kitchen. I'd go over there and I'd take the arm and put it where the eye is and the eye where the, you know, the nose or whatever. And you make that fuck. That's what a lot of churches look like. If you don't find your place to serve. The Bible says we're one body, we're many parts. And if you don't find the place to serve, could it be that you're an out-of-fit Mr. Potato Head? You're not who God called you to be. I love, Paul says in Ephesians, Christ has put each part of the church in its right place. Each part helps other parts. That's what's needed to keep the whole body together, the whole church. Friends, the reason why True North could be a great place, an even better place, is when some of you take that next step to say, okay, I'm going to move from the pew to begin to serve. I'm going to move from the seats and get off my rump and do something for the kingdom of God serving on Sunday morning. I want to encourage you. Let's all be a part of something. Let's attend one. Let's get in a group. Let's begin to serve. And thirdly, make a commitment to bring one. We attend one, we serve one, and we bring one. Almost every week, we don't do it every week, but we'll close this way. I'll often say, if you think this series would benefit a friend, would you bring them? Bring a friend. Invite. Here's what I found out. I was one of these guys that I youth pastored for a long time. And I'll tell you right now, you're going to hear me talk a lot about bringing one. Why? Because there are people out there that don't have Jesus on their boat. In the Nana, you saw Pastor Billy share a story about Nana. Nana last week had 56 people in church. Now, you have to understand, there's only 320 people in the entire village. They had 56 people in church. They're making a huge impact in Nana. And Bryce, their youth pastor, he's married to my daughter, and my daughter was at my house the other day because Bryce was at a away game for their basketball tournament. He helps coach the basketball team. And there's a kid named Marty in their youth ministry, and actually Marty's not in their youth ministry. Marty comes, but Marty's a difficult kid. He's in high school, and he's a troubled kid. You know what I'm talking about when I say troubled kid? The kid is a button pusher. Anyone know what I'm talking about? When you see a kid that's a troubled kid, very dysfunctional background, and rather than allowing someone into their world, you know what they do? They push buttons because they want to know, does the person really love me? And if I push enough buttons, I don't have to get hurt again because it'll push them away. You know what I'm talking about? There's those people in your life. When they push your button, you have to get past the button and realize if they're pushing my buttons to keep me awake, maybe it's because they're tired of being hurt and I don't want to be the person who hurts them again, but I'm still going to pursue that. So Bryce was at a basketball game and gets a text message and it was Marty who said, Bryce, I don't know what it is, but I feel like I want to kill myself. He's just heavy. Suicidal. Dysfunctional home, goes between mom's house and dad's house, and a lot of alcohol, just a very difficult place. And he feels like committing suicide. And Bryce is coaching a basketball game, when the coach isn't looking, he's texting back on the side over here, and he's going back and forth. And there's a text message thread for about 45 minutes with Marty in Nana, and he's in Glen Allen. Bryce says, "Well, pray this," and he goes. And so he starts coaching him how to pray. how to rebuke the spirit of death and spirit, some of those things. And Marty goes, question mark, question mark, question. What just happened to me? He goes, I don't know what happened, but that heavy thing that was on me, it's off of me. I said, dude, what's going on? And Bryce led Marty to Jesus. I don't know if, I think God can use text phones, messages. But Marty accepted Jesus yesterday from a text thread back and forth during a Glen Allen basketball tournament between Nanan and some other villages. Why? Because every time Bryce saw Marty, hey, Marty, come to youth group. Oh, what do I need that crap for? Pushing buttons. Came, always caused problems. But guess what? Last night, heaven was made richer and hell was made poorer because someone just got invited. I was in Las Vegas, youth pastor, and we used to make cards up, you know, kind of like these invite cards. And one year I was there, it was growing so fast, they started 12 new high schools and junior highs in one year. And so we would find students from those areas and they that would go to that school, and we'd train them up how to start Bible studies on their campus, how to reach people for Jesus. And I remember there's this girl named Carol Farley and Isabel Slick. What a great name, Slick. Wouldn't you like to have the last name Slick? So Isabel and Kara started a Bible study, and they wanted to call it Breakthrough Campus Ministry. So they made touch cards like this, and they invited them out, invite cards, and invited people to their Breakthrough Campus Ministry. And they didn't have a campus sponsor yet or teacher, so they met at the Starbucks across the street from the high school. God likes coffee shops. I'm convinced of that. I believe he does. That's a sacred bean. Christian addiction, right? And so they invite, and they pass this card out, and the card goes into a young man's, Rudy's his name, went in his pocket, put it in his pocket. They didn't know Rudy from anybody. Rudy, they found out later on, had been in four or five foster homes, had just been relocated. This is a true story. And how do I know it's true? Because the very next week, they had their Bible study, and Rudy came to the Bible study. Rudy gave his life to Jesus. And then he came to the youth group that night. And Isabel and Kara said, hey, I want you to meet Rudy. So I said, well, what's going on, Rudy? He says, I had a gun to my head to commit suicide. True story. He said, I heard my 3-year-old foster sister playing with her toy piano in the room next door. And I realized if I was to shoot myself, she would find me, and that wouldn't be right. So I put the gun down, put my hand in the pocket, felt an invite card, I took it out, and says, do you need a breakthrough? Come to Breakthrough Campus Ministries. He said, I went the next day and I gave my life to Jesus. Friends, we don't know. But I can tell you right now, there are people in your neighborhood. There are people in your cul-de-sac. There are people in your barracks. There are people at your workplace. There are people at your school who don't have Jesus on their boat yet. Have you invited them? Have you invited them? So attend one, serve one, bring one. And then I'm going to ask you to pray about this fourth commitment, and that's to make a commitment to help us reach our church capacity. As a church, we're in a several-year relocation process from, we've bought 18 acres, pieced together 5 real estate transactions over the last 2.5-3 years. Pieced together 18 acres on College Road. We replatted. It's all one plot of ground, 18 acres, walking distance from the university. We call this initiative church capacity. That's 3 words: church, capacity, and at the end of that is a word called city. Because could we maximize our church? And you're the church. We're the church. Can we maximize our capacity to touch our city? The end of it. There's a city with people who don't have Jesus on their boat. And we talked about that as 3 things. It's number one, it's a people of faith, if you're taking notes. We have it on our wall here. It's a people of faith. It's stepping out going, you know something? There's something bigger than us. I can't do it by myself. I need other people to partner with me. I got to kind of dream a bigger dream. And so faith is the currency of the kingdom. Faith says we don't have it all figured out yet, but with God's help, God will help us. It's faith. We're a people of faith. Number two, we're living on mission, which means this. And I say this all the time. The message of True North Church is the message of Jesus Christ, that he died. He died for our sins. He died on the cross. And so Jesus is our message, and our mission is reaching people who don't have Jesus on their boat yet. Our message is Jesus. The mission is telling people about Jesus. And so when we talk about being missional, we're talking about living for Jesus. Today, the church is leaving this building. We're going to lock this building up, and the church is going to be active all week long to come back next week and get charged up so we can go be active again all week long outside the doors of this building. We don't build buildings at True North. We build people. But sometimes God looks out, God puts a grace upon a group of people called the church, and at times he says, will you help me as God's people build a building for me? There's a difference. So church pastors is a people of faith living on mission, building a place with more space. Here's what it looks like. I'm going to show you in just a moment a video rendering of this. The sanctuary seats about 750 people. The foyer is about 35 feet wide and 140 feet long. And there's going to be a lot of stuff that happens out there. Our MOPS ministry will happen inside our foyer, and banquets will happen out there. Small groups will happen out there. We'll have plenty of room, plenty of parking. And we can't wait. We'll do multiple gatherings. We'll never just do one service. We'll always do, why? Because our DNA is we attend one and we serve one. And we have to have multiple gatherings because we attend one, serve one, you'll be bringing one. Check out what we're going to, with God's help, together build. I'm excited. Anyone else excited about what God has in store for us? And here's where we're at. We have, as of this point, again, we've purchased 18 acres. We had one of the sellers of one of the three acre parcels allowed us over 3 years to pay him over 3 years for 0% interest. We just finally made that last balloon payment the 31st of December. And so we've completely remodeled the 20,000 square foot building that's there. We've got all of our engineering, architecture paid. We did the deep dynamic compacts, and the foundation is in on College Road. It's all there. We got the bids back in December for the cost to erect the rest of the building, and something called inflation hit, and so the cost of the building is about $3 million more than we anticipated. So, of course, we as a board and building committee said, well, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to move forward with what we know we can do. So this summer, we've already ordered our steel. We're going to erect the steel structure, the rafters, the pan decking. So when you drive by, there will be the skeleton of the building there. And we're gonna be able to do that this summer and pay cash for everything we do. Inherit no more in debt. And then the next year, say, hey, God, as we continue to in faith step out, as we continue to tighten our belts and our wise with what we spend, we'll look at the next following year, what we can do, and hopefully over the next year, two to three years, complete this entire building and not get to a place where we've leveraged ourselves beyond our comfortability. How many of you guys know that cash is a good thing? And so this summer, to be able to erect our steel, we had two real estate agents give us a broker's opinion of value. Our 18 acres over there right now with our building that we have renovated, they say is worth $10.8 million, and we have just right at $5 million of loans. And so we have already more than doubled what the value of the land is from what when we purchased it. So God is so good. But I want to ask you, on your seat pocket when you walked in, there we put, not your seat pocket, but on the seat, we put a pledge card. And 14 months ago, we asked 100% of our church. And I know with military transitions, there's folks that are new to True North. There's some that weren't here. And we've asked 100% of people to take the next step in their generosity journey. If you think this is about money, you misinterpret the heart. It's about people who don't have Jesus on their boat. And when it's 40 below, it helps to have a building in Fairbanks, Alaska. And so we asked 100 people to take the next step in their generosity journey. And if you have your worship guide, we walk through that. We're asking everyone, maybe if you've never given, would you consider giving for the very first time? Be a first-time giver. Take that step and say, I want to invest in the ministry of True North. And we have a one fund here. Everything goes into one fund. It funds our missions. It funds building projects for churches around the globe. And then it also funds the development of our campus on College Road. Last year, $460,000 walked out the door for missions and building churches around the globe. We're not going to build a building in Fairbanks and not build the kingdom of God around the world. Take the first step and give. Or maybe you haven't been a consistent giver. Would you be a consistent giver? Maybe it's, you know, I'll give every week or I'll give once a month. Thirdly, be intentional giver. Intentional giver is the one that says, I'm going to tithe. I'm going to give. We all intentionally give. I give to AT&T every month. Okay? I give to Wells Fargo every month with my mortgage. I don't have any car loans, but I give every month to the folks that deliver my fuel for my house. We all have intentional giving. My question is, do you intentionally give to Jesus? If you don't, please do. Thirdly, sacrificial giving. And in this church, in this process, we asked 100 people to take the next step for, and my wife and I have given consistently for years. We give above and beyond our tithe, but the Lord spoke to us and gave us a number to give for church capacity. And so my wife and I, we have a house in Vegas that's a rental. We had a house in Anchorage, and we sold one of our houses because the Lord asked us to give $100,000 for church capacity. That's a lot of money. I share that because I'm not asking anyone to do something that your pastor's not willing to do himself. That's sacrificial giving. In my mind, that was like, we have a couple homes, that's our retirement someday, and God says, you know something, I know how to take care of you. You got me, I've got you, you're in my boat. I can take care of you. And so, would you go home and pray about it? Is there something you can do? 14 months ago, we had hundreds of people at True North take the next step. And perhaps you're new, would you take the next step with us? And what that looks like, walk through it. If you have any questions, I'd love to connect with you. We've asked people to give for 2 years to a church pastor, an initiative, a generosity initiative. God, I'm going to stretch my faith for 2 years. And so if you'd walk, if you want questions, if you're interested, connect with me. Drop in an offering bucket sometime. Drop it by the office. Would you pray with us that God would ask you how to partner with True North to help him in what God is doing? Let's pray as we close today. Lord, I thank you for this day. I pray that you would speak to our hearts, that we all would be a part of what you're doing in Fairbanks, Alaska. And God, partner with a group of crazies like us to say, we want to make more room for more people who don't have you on their boat. I thank you for that. Help us build a place with more space. But more than that, help us be a people of faith who live on mission. And when we do that, Lord, I believe we're going to impact our city. I thank you for that in Jesus' name.
What a fantastic service. Be sure to stay in touch by following us on social media so you can stay up to date with all that is happening at True North Church.